If the Senate would please come back to order, the first item of business is messages from the House.
February the 11th, 2015, from the House of Representatives. Message, third reading, passed, amended. Mr. President, the bills listed below pass the House on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. House Bill Number 144, Education, School Safety and Security, ayes 31, noes 29. House Bill Number 162, Providers Order for Life-Sustaining Treatment, ayes 32, noes 28. And House Bill Number 205, Revisers Bill, ayes 60. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
With that order of business of House bills on first readings, the first House bill is 158. First reading of the bill.
House Bill Number 158, Sexual Assault Custody Rights. Pass the House on third reading. Ayes 49, noes 11.
House Bill 158 is assigned to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. House Bill 215, first reading of the bill.
House Bill Number 215, Community Juvenile Services Board's Creation. Sponsored by Representative Brown. Pass the House on third reading. Ayes 56, noes 3, excused 1.
House Bill 215 is assigned to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. House Bill 243, first reading of the bill.
House Bill Number 243, Child Abuse, sponsored by Representative Brown. Pass the House on third reading, ayes 55, noes 5.
House Bill 243 is assigned to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. House Bill 210, first reading of the bill.
House Bill Number 210, Guardian Ad Litem Division, sponsored by Dan Zwanitzer. Pass the House on third reading, ayes 32, noes 28.
House Bill 210 is assigned to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. House Bill 25, first reading of the bill.
House Bill Number 25, Railroad Rolling Stock Tax Exemption Sunset, sponsored by Representative Kirkbride. Pass the House on third reading, ayes 53, no 7.
House Bill 25 is assigned to Committee Number 3, Revenue. House Bill 62, first reading of the bill.
House Bill Number 62, Property Tax Exemption for Religious Education Camps, sponsored by Representative Stubson. Pass the House on third reading in an amended form. Ayes 59, noes 1.
House Bill 62 is assigned to Committee Number 3, Revenue. House Bill 11, first reading of the bill.
House Bill Number 11, Distance Education Task Force, sponsored by the Education Committee. Pass the House on third reading, ayes 47, noes 13.
House Bill 11 is assigned to Committee Number 4, Education. House Bill 10, first reading of the bill.
House Joint Resolution 10, Magna Carta, sponsored by Representative Helverson. Pass the House on third reading, ayes 46, noes 13, excused 1.
House Joint Resolution Number 10 is assigned to Committee Number 4, Education. House Bill 201, first reading of the bill.
House Bill Number 201, Deposits by Political Subdivision, sponsored by Representative Larson. Pass the House on third reading, ayes 52, noes 8.
House Bill 201 is assigned to Committee Number 7, Corporations. House Bill 237, first reading of the bill.
House Bill Number 237, Water and Sewer District Contracts, sponsored by Representative Moniz. Pass the House, ayes 60.
House Bill 237 is assigned to Committee Number 7, Corporations. House Bill 197, first reading of the bill.
House Bill Number 197, Emergency Vehicles, Tow Trucks, and Wreckers, sponsored by Representative Edmonds. Pass the House on third reading, ayes 59, noes 1.
House Bill 197 is assigned to Committee Number 8, Transportation. House Bill 212, first reading of the bill.
House Bill Number 212, Workers' Compensation Claim Apportionment, sponsored by Representative Lloyd Larson. Pass the House on third reading, ayes 58, noes 2.
House Bill 212 is assigned to Committee Number 9, Minerals. House Bill 233, first reading of the bill.
House Bill Number 233, Branch Bank License Expiration, sponsored by Representative Somers. Pass the House, ayes 60.
House Bill 233 is assigned to Committee Number 9, Minerals. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, that clears the desk.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move that the Senate resolve itself back into committee of the whole to continue discussion on the budget bill.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That motion's been adopted.
Committee of the Whole, come back to order for continued discussion. Action on Senate File 1, the budget bill. I would call upon the Chairman of Appropriations, Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Section 006, Administration and Information, and yield the floor to the good Senator from Campbell County.
Go ahead, Senator Wasserberger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Section 006, Administration and Information, just go through it quickly on page 10. Line 6, it starts with the Director's Office. The JAC approved $154,000 in general fund for the hosting and maintenance fees of the State Accounts Receivable Application, and that stands for SARA, S-A-R-A. This project was reviewed and recommended by the OCIO under the project name of A007M. The $154,000 for hosting and maintenance is a biennial amount, and the director's office is the operations center for A&I as well as the liaison for professional licensing boards. It projects oversight. It provides oversight and leadership necessary to keep the agency's division moving towards its common goals. The director's office provides the accounting and human resources payroll services to all employees and divisions of A&I, the governor's office, the governor's residence, the Wildlife and Natural Resources Trust, and the office of the state superintendent of public instruction. The accounting office has implemented a new accounts receivable application to accommodate the central mail and motor pool billings to user agencies. And the old system, Mr. Chairman, was from the 1970s, and this is a new web-based system that for the first time will allow user agencies to access their billing accounts in order to view change history as well as access system reports. The system accommodates approximately $6 million per fiscal year in the motor pool build charges and $1.8 million per fiscal year in the central mail build charges. The system became available to user agencies in August 2014. The production of this system coincides with ETS's goal to eliminate the mainframe in the near future, since it's from the 1970s. The request is for funding to meet the hosting and maintenance charges of the new system. And also on page 10, General Services, the JAC approved the governor's recommendation for $671,879. The Department of A&I manages entrusted state resources for the proper care and use and maintenance of all state buildings and facilities to assist state agencies in their mission to provide needed services to other agencies and the public. The JAC approved the Gov's rec of an increase of $671,879. And essentially it is because of a utilities increase from the city of Cheyenne. So it's all to keep the lights on, Mr. Chairman. Then we move, and this is for actually the Eidelman Mansion, which is where the governor's office is going to be, or if you're more familiar with the Schrader Funeral Home, which is just across the street. The State Library requested $40,000 to digitize the Wyoming session laws, which will complete the Wyoming Legislative Digital Library. This library of legislative materials contains journals or the digests of the journals from the first territorial government that convened in 1869 up to the present. It also contains digitized bills from 1873 to 2000, in addition to bill actions, on each introduced bill from 1957 to 2000. And essentially what happened was they forgot that once a bill is engrossed and goes into the session laws, they did not digitize those. So they have to go back and redo that, and that costs $40,000. And then on page 10, you have a JAC requires the Department of Administration and Information to complete a report to JAC by November 1st, 2015 on employee compensation. The Human Resources Division of A&I will formulate alternative proposals for increasing the compensation based on longevity and merit and other alternative proposals, Mr. Chairman. And so in a nutshell, on your summary sheet, footnote number one, JAC adopted the Gov's rec of $154,000 general fund for hosting and maintenance of the agency's accounts receivable computer system. Footnote number two, JAC denied the Gov's recs of $213,638,000 general fund for two new positions and associated costs. Footnote number three, JAC adopted the Gov's rec of $671,879 general fund to keep the lights on and for a utilities increase to them. Footnote number four, JAC added footnote number three, which directs the department to formulate alternative proposals for longevity pay and requires a report. And then footnote number five, JAC adopted the governor's rec for $40,000 for digitization of enrolled acts. And I believe, Mr. Chairman, that is 006, Department of Administration and Information, and I stand for questions.
Thank you. Moving quickly to Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I have a few concerns on footnote number three. It's calling for alternatives to increase compensation. And looking for alternatives, looking for longevity. If you look at the on page 11, footnote number 2, we already have $25,000 shall be expended to update the market policy position and pay tables for all authorized executive branch positions. So we're already going to look at the market base, and that's what we've been doing for years, is to make sure that, everybody's paid pretty much the same for doing the same job. And you know, I've heard quite a little bit about some of the longtime employees having a problem with burnout. And I was wondering whether the committee had any discussion about some of the employees that that essentially after a time, they're just marking time, their productivity goes down, and they're just burned out, but they had no place else to go, so we're just going to keep on keeping on until it's our time to retire. We've got merit computation, and if you've got an employee that deserves a salary because they've been there a long time and they're doing a great job because of their experience, there's a way to compensate that employee in our system right now, and that's merit pay. But I'm concerned about the longevity pay increase. I think there's a small amount in the system right now for longevity, but it's not much, maybe $20 a month a year or something like that. But really, it's going to be hard coming into the next session with $400-some million shortfall and then get a report saying we have to spend more money on salary because of this element. And I just really hate giving people false hope.
Response? Go ahead, Senator Westberger.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I do have to say that, I was in the House for 12 years, but I was out for six, and this is my first year on the Appropriations Committee. And I have to say that I thought it was more a strategy to require the report than whether or not we really wanted to read the report at the end of the day. Having had so many reports sent to us in the past, I'm not sure we want to read this one. But the committee did request that, and so it's free for the floor to decide as to whether or not we really need that after, in lieu of the previous session where you already required a report. So in defense of the committee, I promise to read the report quickly and do my best.
Thank you. Further discussion in regard to Section 6, Mr. Chairman Roth.
There's no further discussion. I move the adoption of 006.
All those in favor of Senator Ross's motion to adopt Section 006, please say aye. Those opposed, no. Section 6 has been adopted. The next section for our consideration is Section 7, I believe. Go ahead,
correct.
Senator Ross.
I move Section 007, Wyoming Military Department. We didn't do very much with this. We just added a footnote on page 13 of your budget bill that authorizes or allows the agency to make burial team payments up to $100. There's no discussion. I move for the adoption of 007.
I would call upon the majority floor leader, Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Question for the Joint Appropriations Committee. A year ago when we did the budget bill, there was some discussion about federally paid people that would take care of firefighting and part of their mission over in Camp Guernsey, and I wanted to be sure that that's still in place. They're paid for by federal funds. I think there's four or five of them, and yet they're still over there capable of doing that, and I want to be sure that nothing's changed in that regard.
Go ahead, Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Absolutely correct. Nothing's changed in that regard. Move the adoption of 007.
Any further discussion before we act upon a motion? Seeing none, those in favor of Senator Ross's motion to adopt Section 7, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Section 7 has been adopted. The next section for our consideration is Section 10, I believe.
Mr. Chairman, I move Section 010, Section 10, Department of Agriculture. Yield the floor to the good senator from Sweetwater County.
Go ahead, Senator Hastert.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the Senate. Section 010, Department of Agriculture. And what we did here was there were several requests, and we denied the governor's recommendation of $21,300 for equipment. We went on to deny, we had actually adopted the $244,500 for the laboratory accreditation assistance, and added the footnote 3 that you'll see in your budget, members of the Senate, on page 16. to see that $120,775,000 was footnoted for a contractor for the length of the project only. That was a contract quality supervisor accreditation specialist. And then we went on to deny the $68,230 for lab equipment, the $250,000 for state fair operations, and the $200,000 for equipment at the state fair. Those were all denied. Those were items that we felt we could look at in the next biennium. And that is all we did in section section 10.
Questions, conversation in regard to section 7. I'm sorry, section 10. Seeing none.
Move the adoption.
All those in favor of Senator Roth's motion to adopt section 10, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Section 10 has been adopted. The next section for our consideration is section 14. Senator Roth.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move section 14, Miners Hospital, and once again yield to the good senator from Sweetwater County.
Go ahead, Senator Hastert.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee added the $143,947 at special revenue for the compensation to the providers, and we added footnote 2, making the appropriation one time. And members of the Senate, they have a couple of AWAC positions. Miners Hospital has offices in Sweetwater and Campbell County. The amount of workload has increased dramatically. That these are converting, using the trust fund monies, this is converting AWAC positions into full-time positions to facilitate the work of the Miners Hospital.
Questions in regard to the Miners Hospital, Senator Bebout, Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and this relates to the budget, but more particularly to the Miners Hospital itself. And we had some legislation last year we passed relative to this. The GAC passed it. You were involved in that. And I'm just wondering if you can give us an update on how that's working out and did it accomplish what we wanted it to do.
Go ahead, Senator Hastert.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The workload and what we are accomplishing through the Miners Hospital, I've been getting some, trying to follow their board activities and try to attend some of their meetings. But, a lot of their programs and providing services to the miners has been improved dramatically. The amount of workload, the amount of miners that are responding into the system is what has, asked them to, like I said, convert these AWAC positions. But, yeah, we definitely made some improvements.
Any other discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of Senator Ross' motion to adopt Section 14, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Section 14 has been adopted. The next section for our consideration is Section 20. Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Section 15, Attorney General, and yield to the Chairman of the Journal Committee.
I'm sorry. Thank you, Mr. Senator Wasserberger. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman of Appropriations. In Section 015, Attorney General, on page 19 and line 2 of your bill, the JAC approved an increase of one-time funding for $143,947 for the Victim Services Division. The funding can only be expended for enhanced compensation by distributing an equal amount to each of the 48 victim services providers throughout the state. Any funds not expended shall revert back on June 30, 2016. And on your footnote, on your cheat sheet, you have footnote number 1, which says Joint Appropriations Committee added $143,947 for enhanced compensation to providers, and added footnote number 2, making the appropriation one time. I stand for questions on Section 015, Attorney General, Mr. Chairman.
Any questions on that section, Section 15, seeing none? All those in favor of Senator Ross's motion to adopt Section 15, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Section 15 has been adopted. The next section for our consideration is 20.
Mr.
Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Section 20, Department of Environmental Quality, and yield to the Vice Chairman of Appropriations.
Go ahead, Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Department of Environmental Quality, we did a couple of things. The first thing we did is we adopted the governor's rec of $1,293,995 of general fund to compensate the loss of federal AML funding. What that was, Mr. Chairman, was that the AMLs were that we had in there that were mostly to help fund and continue the air pollution control program, which also is responsible for issuing air quality permits. We had funded that partially out of AML funds. When the federal government basically confiscated, or at least failed to yield the AML funds to us, this required a backfill, and so that's what that does, which holds them in their current biennial funding harmless as a funding source. And the other thing we did is that we adopted the governor's rec of $600,000 to develop and implement the impact system. The impact system is part of the DEQ's paperless initiative. The impact system itself provides a data system that specifically enhances the air quality, the division's ability to interface with all of the with the public and with permittees and others who are regulated by the division. It's the impact standards for the inventory monitoring, permitting, and compliance tracking data system. So it not only is an opportunity to communicate, it's a way to have permits issued and to respond and also follow up in compliance and compliance reporting on part of the division. So anyway, we did that. We'll talk more about that in Section 345, but that's what we did with the Department of Environmental Quality.
Any further discussion in regard to Section 20? All those in favor of Senator Ross' motion to adopt Section 20, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. Section 20 has been adopted. The next section for our consideration is Section 24. Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Section 24, State Parks and Cultural Resources, and yield the floor to the Senator from Sheridan.
Senator Burns, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, the Joint Appropriations Committee in State Parks and Cultural Resources. First thing we did was add $10,000 for the minting of additional commemorative coins. The first set of coins, as we all remember, got sold out before many legislators had the chance to order theirs. So we ordered a special legislative edition, which, by the way, the exclusivity on that runs out after this week. And then it will be open to former legislators also. And by the end of the session, then we'll open it to the public. But legislators have the first shot at this legislative special edition set of coins. In addition to that, the governor put in a request for an additional, I think it's 300 or 400 coins for the executive branch. He realized the reaction he's gotten from giving them out, and they are actually symbols of goodwill to VIPs and when the governor travels. So that's $10,000 there. The governor also had a recommendation of $244,46 for artifact and artwork conservation. These are the artifacts that the Department of Cultural Resources keeps at the old Unicover building. And the committee reduced that to $100,000. Actually, the committee originally denied the entire thing, and then upon further conversation with State Parks, they considered that an important enough item to actually give up a later item in order to get this back. We also denied the governor's request for $25,000 for a statewide arts conference and $32,700 for the 125th Wyoming Statehood Conference. We added footnote number 5 that if this conference does take place, it's an anniversary conference called the We Are the West. No. Not we the people. Our Place in the West Conference, and this is going to be a conference of scholars dealing with Wyoming history since statehood. So in footnote number 5, we put that all the paperwork and historical studies and so forth from scholarly studies shall be made available to the public online via the agency's website. We also further denied the governor's request for $288,351 for a snowmobile permit tracking system. We denied the governor's letter number 5 for $200,000 for a Veterans Memorial Park up in Cody. There is a park there. This $200,000 was to add a memorial for women in the military. And finally, we denied the governor's request of $765,513 for state park operations. But we added a footnote number 6, which authorizes and appropriates up to $25 in state parks capital construction funds for operations and maintenance, which is basically the same thing that House Bill 13 does. This footnote gets repealed if Senate File 13 passes.
Any further discussion? Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And looking at that footnote, the language is similar to House Bill 13, and I wonder if the GAC had any discussion about how it may be expended for general operations and maintenance, and if you, in fact, feel like the Appropriation Committee process is satisfied with the way the footnote's drafted.
Senator Burns.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I guess we feel that we are satisfied with the way it's drafted because we approved it. I guess that's an indication.
Senator Bebout, Leader.
Mr. Chairman, if I can finish up my answer and
okay, I'm sorry.
Stop being flippant about it. We do prefer the bill to the footnote simply because for two reasons. The bill is recurring, whereas the footnote ends after 2 years.
Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, question on the $10,000 for the coins. I imagine the governor is going to give his out for various functions promoting the state. But are the rest, am I right in understanding the rest of them are for sale? And if so, do we expect to make a buck on that?
Senator Burns?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, we expect the rest are for sale, especially the legislators. Limited edition are for sale to legislators at $100 for the set. The set and the sale of the gold coins go to the proceeds from that go to benefit the Cultural Trust Fund. The sale of the silver coins and the sale of the set that's already been sold out went to benefit the Wyoming Arts Council.
Further questions in regard to Section 24? Seeing none. All those in favor of Senator Ross's motion to adopt Section 24, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. Section 24 has been adopted. The next section for our consideration, I believe, is Section 27. Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Section 27, School Facilities Department, and yield to Senator Wasserberger.
Go ahead, Senator Wasserberger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Starting on page 25 of your bill, the JAC approved the Gov's recs of $7.4 million for major maintenance funding calculation. After the funding amounts are determined by the school funding model, the major maintenance funds are distributed to each of the 48 school districts. It is distributed annually. The major maintenance funds to the districts is based on average daily membership, which yields an allowable square footage as is reduced for buildings that are less than 7 years old. The original estimate for this request was based on information from 2013. Based on a more recent and accurate information, the request is to fully fund major maintenance due to an increase in the construction cost per square foot of approximately $5. Priority number one will enable the school facilities department to continue to provide facilities that are safe and effective with construction cost managed to facilitate education, which positively impacts student engagement and achievement. On page 26, lines 4 through 9, the JAC authorized transfer of $453,846 in the school capital construction account, reversion 2009-2010, to the school capital construction appropriation to 2013-2014 in order to reconcile and close those biennial appropriations. So, in short, in nutshell, Mr. Chairman, footnote number 1, the JAC adopted the governor's rec to add footnote number 3, which authorizes the department to move funds between biennia in order to balance its books and ultimately close prior year appropriations. Footnote number 2, Joint Appropriations Committee Move $3,150,000 from the school capital construction account for school capital construction to Senate File 57. And footnote number three, the JAC moved $10,587,422 from the school capital construction fund for contingencies and component projects for Senate File 57. And then footnote number four, the JAC adopted the governor's recs of $7.4 million for school capital construction fund for major maintenance, and added footnote number four, which authorizes school districts to spend up to 10% of their major maintenance distribution, which you can find that on page 26, lines 5, lines 11 through 15 of your bill, for safety and security needs in buildings and facilities for the period beginning with the effective date of this act, which is June 30th, 2016.
Questions in regard to this section, Mr. Majority Floor Leader?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Under item number four, the $7.4 million for major maintenance, several questions. First of all, was that determined by our statutes about the cost of construction going up and that relationship to the formula, and that's how you came up with the 7.4? That's the first question. The second question is, we had Senate File 57, and I know that this is where we handle the major maintenance part of it. I want to be sure that it's not covered in 57. I don't believe it is, but I want to be sure of that. The second part is on the 10% additional that for safety and security needs. We had, I think, over $9 million appropriated in Senate File 57 that we appropriated last year, but we finally figured out how to spend that. Is there any relationship between this and that particular part of Senate File 57?
One of the members want to rise to that. While we're thinking about it, we'll go to Senator Von Flater and maybe some of the members of the appropriations can research the other. Go ahead, Senator Von Flater.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm just curious what Senate File 57, was it last year's bill? Was it the facilities or major maintenance? Number doesn't mean a lot to me, so just curious what that was.
Any further discussion? Seeing none.
Right.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, go ahead, Chairman Ron.
Mr. Chairman, I'm advised that there was no major maintenance in Senate File 57.
Okay, I'm going to go to Majority Leader, and then we'll come back. Go ahead, Senator Bebout.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I would agree with that. What about the security, safety and security needs that we had in Senate File 57, where we had appropriated the $9 million last year, and we allocated how that was spent? Now we're spending up to 10% in this regard. Since that's not in there, is this 10% more we're spending on safety and security needs that was in Senate File 57 or not?
I'll go to Senator Perkins, member of the committee. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And what we have there, those are actually, they both deal security, but they actually deal with two different issues. One was that we appropriated, I think, was $9 million in the prior bill. It was appropriated, but there was no list, and we held that back until there was a priority that was set, a legislative bill. And I think that there's one that comes through at a later point that actually allocates it's not unlike the omnibus water bills or the cease and desist list. So it's kind of that process. So that $9 million that was in that bill will come through, and there's a bill later that addresses that. So the budget bill doesn't do anything with that. What this is, in footnote number four, and what that is a response to requests by various school districts around the state that with their major maintenance dollars, this allows them locally to spend up to 10% of their major maintenance money for security types of issues that they want to resolve at the local level. So major maintenance dollars at the local level, deciding how they'll up to 10% of that can be spent without further authorization by the department for whatever security needs that they believe is a part of their and appropriate with their major maintenance programs.
Senator Bebout, on the same line, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So as I understand that answer, I agree with the prioritization that's in Senate File 57. So this would be in addition to that if some of those feel like they, A, were not covered in the list, or B, they wanted to spend more money in addition to, you've given them that latitude to spend another $700,000 at the local level.
Senator Perkins?
Yes, I think that's the correct interpretation.
Thank you. Is there any further discussion in regard to Section 27? All those in favor of Senator Ross's motion to adopt Section 27, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Section 27 has been adopted. The next section for our consideration is Section 29. Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Actually, Section 29 is not in the bill, but I'll explain. It's on the cheat sheet, Section 29. We denied the governor's rec of $18,663,241 general fund. And then what we did is you'll see later on in Section 300 and the budget balancer transfers, we took $9 million from the Buffalo Bill Dam operations account for development of these water projects.
So, Mr. Chairman, am I correct that this would not require a motion or action?
That's correct.
At this time? Let's go then on to the next section. Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Section 45, Department of Transportation, and yield to Senator Wasserberger.
Senator Wasserberger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Essentially, what we did here, footnote number one, the Joint Appropriations Committee added footnote number eight, which directs the agency to develop a plan to mitigate impacts on the state's non-interstate highways, specifically Wyoming 59 and U.S. 2026, and requires a report. So essentially, the major highway running through Converse and Campbell County, but then also the highway from Casper to Shoshone. And then footnote number two, the Joint Appropriations added footnote number nine, which directs the agency to separately account for fuel taxes collected that are attributable to the 2013 tax increase and to provide a report. And then footnote number three, the JAC adopted the Gov's rec of $420,000, which is $336,000 general fund dollars and $84,000 from the highway account for WildLink equipment, and moved $336,000 to Section 345 contingency fiscal year 2015. And then footnote number four, the Joint Appropriations Committee reduced the governor's rec of $21.2 million for passing lanes to $5 million and moved that to Section 346, which is contingency fiscal year 2015. And then finally, footnote number five, the JAC added $2 million for passing lanes and added a footnote number 10, which removes general fund from the program line in the budget and directs the agency to spend up to $10 million from highway safety funds or a like amount from other agency funds to design passing lanes to improve safety and mobility on state highways to include Wyoming Highway 59 and U.S. Highway 2026.
Senator Meyer, go ahead.
Mr. Chairman. You know, we're getting pretty descriptive here, and usually the Transportation Commission has a lot to say about where we're spending our funds. And I'm just curious if this is a road that we want to go down. I'm not disagreeing that, Mr. Chairman, that these are roads that I want to have this happen to. But I'm not on the Transportation Commission, and nobody else is here. So was there any discussion about the need for a Transportation Commission, or should we just do it here?
I know. I believe there is a question there. Would you like Senator Wasserberger?
My boys. They're my boys. They're not your boys. They're my boys.
Go ahead, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Actually, the Department of Transportation came to the committee, and then later we met with the committee or the commission on this issue. And so this was kind of a compromise that we came to. I think what the commission actually said was they got hit, that they got surprised with the lack of safety on Highway 59 and the number of deaths that have occurred on that highway. And quite frankly, I think that they wanted to do something just as much as we wanted to do something. And at least that's the way I felt about it. There was a meeting downstairs in the executive office on this very issue with all the players involved. And so I really felt like this was more of a compromise because I think the Joint Appropriations Committee was in opposition to funding the $21.2 million. And so this actually, over time, if you look at the different tranches, funds about $17 million for this project, and it's still short $4.2 million. But I really believe that the commission has the desire to do something. They will design the five passing or turnout lanes, and they will put rumble strips down the sides of the highway and then down the middle on Highway 59, and then design the 2016 summer projects, is at least that's what they're telling me. And I think everybody recognizes the safety issue involved, and I think that everybody wanted to try and do something.
Thank you. I'll go to Senator Roth in the same line, or if we want to establish a new line, go ahead.
Now, Mr. Chairman, it was the same line, and I'm curious about a similar question, which is if $17 million of additional funds were appropriated and subject to review by the Transportation Commission, is this the project that they would use those $17 million on? It would be the first question. And the follow-up either way is, if yes, why do we need to point out where it goes? If no, what would it be? And why would we go and make the decision that this is a higher priority despite the recommendations to the contrary?
Okay, go, Senator Ross, go ahead, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First of all, it is a high priority for the Department of Transportation. In fact, they've already begun to address some of the needs on particularly Highway 59. This summer they'll be putting in rumble strips and some turns. I think there's six of them, five turnouts. But, of course, passing lanes are big for them. And we did have a meeting with the department in the executive office of the governor to formulate a plan. Everybody was on board that this is one of these things that just happens. And, I mean, Highway 59 is we've been addressing it along the way at some points. It's particularly okay between Wright and Gillette, but we need a bunch of passing lanes between Douglas and Wright. Everybody seemed to think that this was the appropriate way to do it. It is. We can use safety money to do that. Plus, we need some time to do the design work. We've got, $2.5 million or $2 million that comes from general fund right away, and then one of the tranches another $5 million. We believe we'll be able to handle it and do it in that fashion. And I think there was consensus when we left the meeting that this was an appropriate fashion to address 59 in 2026.
Other conversation? All those in favor of Senator Ross's motion to adopt Section 45, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. This section has been adopted. The next section for our Mr. President.
I apologize. I wasn't standing up quickly enough. I would like, before we leave that section, to have an update on WildLink. Where are we? How much have we spent? Where is this project going? Is that equipment wearing out so we have to go spend another $80 million? Where are we?
Okay, we have adopted that a section, but I would allow the chairman to respond to the question in regard to Section 45 again. Go ahead, Mr. Chairman.
I can tell you that my notes indicate from the budget hearing or that we've spent a total of about $100 million so far on WildLink. the trunk system for WildLink is state of the art, but they need software updates as consoles apparently are going to be becoming obsolete, and there are going to be new vendors and multiple vendors available, so that hopefully we'll have some reduction in cost in those consoles as we try to bring them online. So so this money that is in here will allow for competition amongst vendors for those consoles.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, while we're kind of at a break here, Section 32 above that, having to do with the Wyoming Infrastructure Authority, would you like to make any comment in regard to that before we move on?
My fault, and I was going to do that, Mr. Chairman. Thanks. It's a good catch. While Section 32, Wyoming Infrastructure, is not in your budget bill, we did, JAC did reduce the governor's rec of $500,000 general fund for contractual studies to $250,000 and moved it to Section 345 contingent appropriations from investment earnings derived in fiscal year 2015.
Thank you. With that, would you like to move them to the next section?
I would. The next section is Section 48, Department of Health, and we'll yield to the good senator from Natrona County.
Go ahead, Senator Perkins.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, Department of Health is always a larger department and always has a lot of activity in it. What we did as we went through here, and your JAC did obviously a number of things as you see here. First of all, we transferred and expanded a program. We expanded some eligibility for it. We didn't necessarily expand the program. Jay reduced the health care financing by $100,000 of general fund money and increased behavioral health by a like amount. And you'll see that modified, particularly in footnote number 4. The purpose of that was to expand the opportunity for hearing aids from before it was limited solely to early childhood prevention. Expand that so it would be to Wyoming residents from birth through graduation from high school. Apparently, as we went out there and looked at that, there's a significant need that we have a number of children who are attending our elementary and secondary education and would do much better if they could hear what's going on, quite frankly. And so ultimately with that, they thought that was a wicked, that eligibility could be expanded to help out school kids without increasing necessarily the budget, that there was room in that program. And so that's the first thing we did. The second thing we did was we adopted the governor's recommendation of $250,000, which would be half general fund and half federal funds to provide for a rebasing study. We've got to go. Part of one of the things we have to do is, as we look at the rebasing study, we've got to provide the provider rate rebasing study. We have to do that every so many years. We've got to do that. This is the study we have to do so we can begin the rebasing. I'm sure we're going to see a question on that, and I'll find the answer here. We'll get there in a minute. We'll come back. Then JAC reduced the governor's recommendation of $9,553,180. We took about 75% of that number, which would be half general fund and half federal funds, to begin to rebase nursing facility rates and also deleted number 6. What that was is to ramp up in the next biennial budget what the anticipated rebasing rate is for nursing homes. And I think what the anticipation is that with respect to the previous note is that's the study to begin the rebasing. This is essentially a down payment, a recognition that we're headed in that direction until there'll be some rebasing, some additional money required. And so in trying to balance all the requests that were everywhere, we didn't meet the governor's full recommendation but went to 75%. So the next thing we did was the JAC added $300,000 under note 4. We added $3 million, which is half general fund and half federal fund, to increase adult DD provider rates, and added footnote number 20 with conditions. And so if you go to, you'll find those on pages 41 through 43, I think. And on page 41. You look down there, you see the million, you see the million there, then you see a half million on the other, on the top of page 42. That's the two halves, which are also matched with federal funds. Looking at there again, Mr. Chairman, the thought of the JAC is that, as that discussion was held, is that the provider rate is that we have kind of fragile provider networks out there. And there are a lot of folks that are struggling and anticipating that, again, there'll be some additional rebasing that occurs in the next biennium. This is not intended to be encapsulated into the rebasing rate, but essentially, again, like the nursing home, was intended to be a down payment on where we're going with those rebasing rates in anticipation of what the study will tell us. Next thing we did is the footnote number five is the JAC added $17,871 to general fund to increase the daily reimbursement rate for hospice facilities. And what we're trying to do there is just, if you remember, we now, one of the things we do is in hospice is that we pay one half of the daily rate tied to nursing home. And so what that does is just create a commensurate increase that we have in the nursing home funds, which was in footnote number three. It's a commensurate percentage increase for hospice facilities to provide for there. And we also added footnote 21, which further specifies that that's what we're doing. Next thing we did is in footnote number six, we adopted the governor's letter number 16, recommendation of $17,576,000, of which the majority is federal fund with some special revenue fund. And what that is a direct pass-through program. Creates one position for tribal health uncompensated care waiver program, and add footnote 22 specifying conditions. That's a straight pass-through for tribal health. They're in the process of establishing a medical home on the reservation for the tribes, and so this is a direct pass-through, and also specifying that if those federal funds are decreased or there's something else that happens to those funds, the state has no additional liability to maintain or to make up any differences there. Next thing we did in footnote number seven, we adopted a governor's rec of $200,000 of special revenue for equipment and maintenance in the public health lab. What we have on that is there's some new equipment in the public health lab. A couple of things it's going to do is there's all in the purchase new equipment for the micro and CTP. The CTP is the Chem Lab testing program. We're putting in there. They may have some need for a new mass spectrometer, and also in the micro program, and some kind of XT8 platform and e-sensor respiratory viral panel tests. And so what those doing are new technologies and upgrades in technologies. The lab is very busy as it does both chemical testing for diagnostics as well as for information. And in looking at those things, there's a lot of and this upgrades and continue to allow them to do it more effectively. That's what that's for. Now, that's a special revenue fund, so there's charges for that, and I think that there's some excess money that's over and above what they originally anticipated. That's where that's coming from. The next thing we did on footnote number seven is footnote number eight is we added $1,114,127 of general fund for public health nursing in Trony and Sweetwater counties. And added footnote number 23. A number of years ago, through some probably missteps and mistakes by Natrona and Sweetwater counties, they extricated themselves from the state public health nursing program. I think both those counties have seen the errors of their ways. They've made personnel changes at the local level. They've gone through and expended significant amounts, as in millions of dollars of their own reserves. They're desperate to get back into the public health the nursing program. What this does is it brings them back through the end of the biennium and helps them, it puts them just on par with the other counties that are involved in the public health nursing program. Lastly, on footnote number nine is the JAC reduced the governor's recommendation what the governor's rec was with $1,000,006 and change down to $517,173 of general fund, and asked to reimburse DD school for preschool providers in accordance with the maintenance of effort account. And what it is is initially that was the effort was kind of a mathematical calculation in the governor's recommendation. As that number was refined and based upon the actual number of children out there, it turns out that to maintain the maintenance of of effort required by the federal government, that this is the amount we actually need to do, and so there's no particular issue there, that everybody's agreed that that's the right number to fund on that program. With that, I'd stand for questions on the Department of Health.
Go ahead, Senator Scott. Mr. Chairman, let me first say that in the whole Medicaid area, I've been concerned for some years about the adequacy of our reimbursement for the providers in the existing Medicaid program that we have, and much of it we reimburse at about 60% of what private reimbursement is, 60% of what costs are, and as government has gradually expanded in the healthcare area, this partial reimbursement, which goes on in Medicare federally as well as our Medicaid program, is getting us in trouble. Having said that, I've had particular concerns in two areas where we are major portions of the revenue that the institutions get. In the nursing home areas, we're just under two-thirds market share of the business they do. In the adult DD providers, we come very close to being 100% share. And I've been concerned, particularly concerned, that we were at risk of starting to lose some of those providers. The question I've got, I will say, Mr. Chairman, I'm very happy to see the Appropriations Committee doing something about the problems in those particular two areas. Question I've got is on the nursing home area. The JAC funded, Mr. Chairman, 75% of the governor's recommendation, and like a little better explanation of why you went there, and I was confused about this, the down payment on further rebasing. Is there another rebasing scheduled? Are you merely implementing the existing rebasing on a phased-in? I'm confused as to what's going on, Mr. Chairman. Would like a little clarification.
Go ahead, Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. What that was is one of the priority number three for the Department of Health was to implement a new nursing home rate model. And so basically what that is in accordance with 42.4104, the department is required to establish a new base period for nursing facility per diem reimbursements at least every 5 years. And so the current base period was established in the beginning of fiscal year 2010, so we're at 2015, so this is within the 5 years. In addition, last year, Senate Enrolled Act 82 required the department to implement a new nursing home rate model, which includes consideration of patient acuity, percentage of Medicaid occupancy, regional economic factors. And so what we've got is that the new nursing home model is a shift away from an individual cost-based model to an acuity-adjusted price-based model that has components to encourage investment in remodeling or building new facilities. So what we have in that the $250,000 rate study is the money necessary to complete that study and to do that study. So from that study is anticipated that I think everyone is fairly understanding that the reimbursement rates are currently too low. So what it actually gets reimbursed to is still up in the air because the study still has to be done. As we went through and looked at that, initially we cut the governor's request in half. On further reflection, JC raised it to 75% of that number, recognizing that no one knows what that number is going to be. But this, again, when we talk about being a down payment, the anticipation is that it's not going to come out lower. It's going to come out higher, because we know the exigencies that we have out there. And in recognizing that, again, as my good colleague from Natrona County said, that when you look at the total nursing home beds in the state, about 65% of them are actually paid for through our Medicaid program. So as we look at that, no one knows what that number is going to be. We figured our number was probably as good as the governor's number, and we liked it better because it was a little bit lower. And when you look at the budget, Mr. Chairman, I would just add that when you look at that, while ultimately you'll find when we talk about these tranches that there is significant money that's out there and you're going to see in the budget, but it's based on contingencies. When you look at the money that's readily available and available to go in and you know it's got to be there, those funds are very, very limited in that, and we call it that first tranche. They're very, very limited. So in matching all that and recognizing that we've got certain requirements that have to be there, that actually have to be paid for, it's very limited funds in those types of things. And so we had to be very conservative as we allocated those immediately available monies that are what little is left in the budget to do. We had to be very, very cautious with those.
Go ahead. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And in one of the areas that I think where we probably don't do as good a job as we should as a state is in funding the adult duty waiver. And I like the fact that we added that 1.5 general fund, 1.5 federal funds to that particular thing. The question I have is, you know, when we look at the provider rate rebasing study, you know, it is going to come in higher. And something we really need to do, so I support that. The question I have is knowing that that's going to come in higher and looking at our budgets, and I know that there's some budgets within the Department of Health that some of us think we ought to be taking a serious look at transferring one funds to another from one place to another. Did you have any discussion on where you might want to try to find the money to pay for what that rebasing study will show? That's the first question. And then the second question in that regard is, I know there was a footnote 13 or some number 14 that we had relative to mental health and substance abuse centers and some discussion. I think the intention of that was correct, but somehow the footnote didn't get to what we want to do. It doesn't go into effect until, I believe, in July 1 of this year. And I think that there's been some discussion about a footnote, change that footnote, so maybe we could talk about that a little bit. Although it's not in here, that is a footnote that was in the budget bill. I'd like to have some discussion in that regard.
Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. With regard to footnote 13, we had Senate Appropriations had an informal meeting with the provider group, your community mental health centers, and the Department of Health. And while there is no amendments on general file, you will see an amendment coming from your Senate Appropriations, the language that accomplishes what we thought we were doing in footnote 13, but also doesn't penalize the current providers concerning their block grant. So in essence, what will happen is the new language that you will see, all parties are in agreement, will solve footnote 13 problem and also address the issues that that your committee, Mr. Majority Floor Leader, was concerned about concerning whether or not there's double dipping. And I think what we'll present to you will alleviate their fears and our fears.
Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, different question. Did the committee receive any testimony on the new Medicaid enrollment system, the fancy computer system that we've been developing and supposed to be using now? We had been getting reports in Committee 10 that it was coming just fine, was about to be implemented, and then we got busy with other issues in Medicaid, and we ceased getting those reports. And in retrospect, they've been noticeably reticent about that system. What I've been hearing since I got down here is that the system is, I hear everything from it's not working very well to it's a total disaster. I don't know which is accurate. I hear it's delaying enrollment in the
people that we were expecting in the woodwork effect in Medicaid under the existing Medicaid program, that they're having to do things by hand. I have no idea what the real status is, but I'm hearing enough, so I'm thinking there's major difficulty here. Were they requesting more funds to complete that? Did they provide the committee with any testimonies how it's working, how it's affecting Medicaid enrollment? And are the Medicaid enrollments, I'm hearing they're not as high as was expected. Is that true?
Right, Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think as far as the answers about the question, no, there wasn't really any dialogue in that. We can certainly follow up on that and find out there. That was a very expensive system. I think it was some $25 or more million that was appropriated to implement that system. So it's a very good question. As far as the Medicaid enrollments, what we do get, I think, is the same report that the Joint Health Committee gets, and that's the enrollment numbers that we get quarterly as we entered through that. And I did have a chance to look at that report the other day, and that report indicates that when we look at the woodwork folks, which are covered under the mandatory provisions of the ACA, I think that we're through the end of 2014, we're at about 60, depending on which one you look at, because there's a series of categories, but we're probably in the six, bouncing between 60 odd to sneaking up on about 70% of what was anticipated. Recognizing that we're only a year into it, and so really only a year into it, so it's been rolling. So we're getting those reports quarterly. We'll monitor, we'll all have the opportunity to monitor that. But there has been a significant, when you look at that, I think there was roughly about 9,000 or so folks are anticipated in the various categories that would come on through the mandatory provisions of the ACA. And so we're probably a 60 to 70% increase on those, if I understood what I was reading in the report, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Bebout, Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A little more discussion on the adult preschool providers, the adult DD program, where we have the maintenance of effort issue. And then we had Part C and Part D. And we were able to go into those last years because we had not actually done correctly the way we funded them in the past. And we balanced those and worked it out during the last budget bill. And I know there was a $1.6 million request, and we reduced that. I just want to be sure our maintenance of effort regulations under C&D, we're in compliance with those based on even with the cuts we made.
Go ahead, Senator Perkins.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, what we did is the governor's original recommendation was significantly larger than what the appropriation did. But as what happened from when the governor made his initial recommendation, that the department was able to go in and refine those numbers, and so everybody is in agreement. The department's in agreement. The JAC's in agreement. The governor's office agreement that the amount that the JAC has appropriated is the correct and appropriate amount, so that we do not run afoul of the maintenance of effort program for preschool for the preschool and that the Parts A and B program.
Right, Senator Scott.
Part B, I think it is.
Mr. Chairman, I would add one thing to that explanation. I compliment the Appropriations Committee for their work in this area, but we had a session on the maintenance of effort in this area in Committee 10 a year ago, and what I will tell the Senate, Mr. Chairman, is that the federal requirements are extraordinarily complex and difficult to understand. So if the Appropriations Committee is back telling us next year we need to do something a little different in this area, I wouldn't fault either the Health Department or the Governor's Budget Office or the committee. It's the feds have made this very complicated, and it's difficult to get it right.
Any further discussion? Go ahead, Senator Landon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Not to belabor, but real quickly, if I missed it, I apologize. What's the practical effect of the nursing care facilities having been funded at a 75% level? Does that put them on hold for the reimbursement or for the rebasing? Or is that something that they will rework a rebasing system that they have come to in order to meet that budget? Or could I be reminded where we're at in terms of nursing home care? Thank you.
Go ahead, Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, I went through that, but I did go through it very fast. What we did is that in anticipation of the, if you look at in the on your cheat sheet and on your the little number three and number two, what you have in there is number two is the study, and that study is primarily aimed at nursing home, and it's a different model. They're going to be looking at a different model. But anticipation that the model is going to come out and require a reimbursement rate at higher than what it is now, in addition to what's already funded. So this will be on top of what's already been appropriated for the biennium, is another, and you look at this, of roughly $7,164,886 of additional reimbursement that will be at, so it's going to increase the reimbursement rates to nursing homes. No one knows what that study is going to show, and so, but this will, it's intended that it will be more in line, probably, with where what Weber is guessing what the study will show. So, it will be a benefit, and I think a welcome addition from those nursing facilities that struggle in keeping their mix of private pay and Medicaid pay in the right area.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. While we're on that rebasing for nursing homes, one of the areas where I think we can do a better job with the state spending our money and our resources, and it really helps the people affected as well, is in-home health care. So we keep them in their homes longer, and they're able to stay there before they go to the nursing homes. I've heard some discussion that budget is not at the levels it should be, and that's such a much better way to spend money when you look at the cost benefits of that relative to nursing homes. Did you have any discussion in that regard with the Department of Health?
Senator Perkins.
Mr. Chairman, no, I don't think we had that discussion. I know we probably in general, somewhere in the back of my mind, it seems like we've talked about that, but we didn't have any specific discussion about that in the JAC, nor did the department come forward with any requests for additional funds. Keep in mind the Department of Health does have a significant amount of, probably more than any other department, has a significant amount of flex authority to move their funds from one to another as to try and cover those things. But it's very complicated over there because there's a significant mix of both general fund and various federal funds as they have to manage that. So they need broader flex authority because we give them authority to flex general funds doesn't mean they necessarily have authority to flex federal funds around.
Senator Scott?
Chairman, on that point, I got some feedback from one of the provider organizations that the feds had changed the rules in this area, and they had separated the case management function, and the home health care providers could no longer do that. And they were actually had been doing that kind of function, and that what the effect of that was that the reimbursement was no longer adequate to provide the home health care services in some of the areas, and then this particular provider was going to abandon the business the end of this month. And I raised that to the health department. I think it was a bit of a new concept for them. But they said they were going to look into it. I am a little concerned here because we have had problems in the past, going back a number of years, in this area. And if we don't have adequate providers for these home health care, we could get in real trouble with additional demand on the nursing home population, and it would do quite a bit of harm. And I know the particular provider, I got a call from the working level there, and I know them to be a reasonable, competent provider that does good work in our county. So I am concerned that this area may be, the feds may have produced a problem for us, and it may not yet be being adequately dealt with.
Senator Perkins, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and having, thank you for jogging my memory. Having, it seems like we started this session only a few years ago. Early in this session, after having talked with the good chairman of the health department, I did go over and meet with the chief financial officer for the Department of Health and to meet him and visit with him and a few of his folks about this specific issue. They were unaware of it, but we talked about the issue, and it's interesting. I mean, on its face, it would seem like having independent case managers on those types of situations would be wholly appropriate. But when you think about it and look at it a little bit deeper, what happens is ultimately when you get in a home care waiver for an elderly adult, usually, what you're talking about is really a static situation that is not likely to change. It may degrade in somewhat as the client's health degrades, but ultimately it's a fairly static concept. But they were unaware of that. They were going to look into that because obviously, for the very reasons that Majority Floor Leader enunciated, everyone recognizes that it's generally much less expensive to keep someone in their home than it is to pay for them to be in a full care nursing facility.
Further discussion, Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, and I think that what goes on, if it's managed properly at the health department level, is that we shouldn't need much in the way of additional funds there, that they may need to just reallocate their resources so they're paying the providers more for actually providing the service, and that they do the case management function perhaps through their public health nurses or some other function. Because I don't think I think what's happening, Mr. Chairman, was that the case management function was, if anything, overpaid and the service providing was underpaid. And as a basic proposition, the actual nurse or CNA, whoever was doing the home visiting, was going to do that function anyhow. So we may have to maneuver a little to keep the feds happy and keep the money coming to the people who are providing the service. Shouldn't be an increase of any magnitude in the expenses here, but I am concerned, and it may be just one provider. I can't guarantee it's more than one provider, but I am concerned that the health department get on top of this one and pay attention to what the feds have done to us this time.
Any further discussion? All those in favor of Senator Ross' motion to adopt Section 48, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Section 48 has been adopted. The next section for our consideration, I believe, is Section 49. Mr. Chairman Ross.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Section 49, Department of Health, or excuse me, didn't we just do that? God, Department of Family Services, Section 49, and yield to Senator Burns.
Go ahead, Senator Burns.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, what we did with DFS is actually quite simple. If you look on your cheat sheet here, you look at items 1 and 3, they're actually pretty much doing the same thing, or they're reactive to each other. We reduced the amount of, we increased the travel budget in the services program for DFS of both the general fund and federal fund money because they needed it there, and we reduced the like amount from the assistance program. So that's basically a wash. And I guess the governor could have done it with his flex authority, but I guess he wanted to save that for something sexy. Footnote number 2, or item number 2, the governor asked for $1.29 million to increase the reimbursement rate for crisis bed providers. The crisis beds around the state are having problems. They have to have those beds there whether they're occupied or not. And currently, the state reimburses the beds at a rate of $97 a night. That is below their cost. They were asking for $150. So what we did was we reduced the governor's recommendation down to $600,000 to basically tide them over till we can get a better look at this in the next regular budget cycle. And finally, item number 4, we adopted the governor's rec of $1 million, as long as it's matched by private funds for job training and placement. And then what we did was we took that money from the contingent appropriations for fiscal year 2015, and on that list. It's priority number 17 out of 31. And, Mr. Chairman, with that, I'd be glad to take any questions.
Questions, Senator Scott, go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, the question is, what kind of crisis beds are we talking about? I know in the Title 25 area where we're getting people coming out of the state hospital, there's a need for temporary beds to get them have time to get situated in a community so they don't go through the cracks and just recycle through the Title 25. Is this the kind of bed that could be useful for that purpose, or are these for some other specialized purpose? What are you talking about here?
Yeah, they're youth crisis. Children.
Mr. Chairman, these are the youth crisis beds. For youth crisis. Or if you're from the East Coast, youths.
Further discussion in regard to this section, Majority Floor Leader.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Title 25 is an area that I think we all have concerns about, and part of that, of course, is under DFS and affected by that. Did you have any discussion? And I know that there at one time, I believe there was a potential of an $8 or $9 million letter, possibly from the governor's office, about some exorbitant cost increases in that area. And quite frankly, Mr. Chairman, Title 25 and the way that process works and some of the treatment, I don't think it's good for the amount of money we spend. I don't really believe it really helps the clients that are involved in that process. There's a whole lot of problems with Title 25. Do we have any discussions about that when you went through this budget?
Anyone from the committee like to raise to that question? I've got two. Okay, go ahead, Senator go ahead, Senator Perkins. Go ahead.
I'll defer to my good compatriot.
Senator Hastert, go ahead.
Well, Mr. Chairman, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And there was a governor's letter. We did have that conversation, considerable conversation, and I was just trying to find the tab it's under. It'll be something I'll be talking about later on in the budget that we did provide the Department of Health a little bit of flex to take care of the shortfalls, and it was felt that was something that we would rather take up. We didn't actually provide additional funding, but we did provide flex, and then that was something that we wanted to take up in the interim.
Senator Scott, go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Chairman, most of Title 25 is back in the Health Department budget. The Health Department, one thing they did right was they fixed a lot of the problems at the state hospital with the intake, with the speed with which people were going through there and some of those things. And, Mr. Chairman, that made a dent in the problems there, I think reduced the population that was waiting to come in there and they waited at high priced institutions, including one in my county. So the health department solved a good part of the administrative problem, but there is still, in my judgment, a considerable need. Been working on diversion programs. I think that work is progressing, but there's still a considerable problem when people have their meds adjusted, which is what they go to the state hospital for, Mr. Chairman, and then come back to the community, and you need some kind of crisis bed or something like that where some of them can be placed for a few days while the local community mental health center grapples with the problems and helps get the individuals on a treatment plan and helps them, frankly, Mr. Chairman, find a living situation that is practical and doable for them. And that's an unsolved problem. So I would say to the Senate, as you look out long-term in this area, if we're in for a prolonged period of downturn, one of the reasons you don't want to spend too much of your reserves right now is that we've got an expensive problem there. It's going to take some money to solve. I know our Community Mental Health Center has a proposal that may be of some value in this area, but there's a cost coming here that we don't yet have our hands on that's going to be, I think, very real, Mr. Chairman, in the future. That's one of those things we're going to have to do something about.
I'm going to go to Senator Perkins and then Senator Von Flatern.
We did have discussion with the Department of Health about this issue, and the issue for the members of the Senate that may not be aware of this is that obviously we appropriate a certain amount for Title 25, which are involuntary commitments. And in the Title 25, in our discussion, our budget hearings with the department, Mr. Chairman, the department disclosed to us that that for this biennium that they have burned through maybe 80% of their budget for Title 25, keeping in mind we're only 7-8 months into this biennium. And so they did not have, and they were looking to, they didn't understand why quite there was a spike, why there's been such a spike recently. They're trying to figure that out. We looked at that. Keep in mind the Department of Health is about almost a $2 billion budget, and there's considerable flex authority in there to deal with that. But one of the other things we did in doing that, one thing that your JAC did is we have been accumulating money for a revamp of various state health institutions, one of which is the state hospital. And while there's been a study that's come back with a number of alternatives that are available for that, and we've had some good help and good leadership from various people on the floor that have participated in that, there's four alternatives in that. The ones that are probably the JAC thought was most appropriate and most likely were probably the two, probably 1A and 1B in that, and both of those involve certain revamp of the state hospital. And so one of the things you'll see is we talked about it later either, I can't remember, 345 or 346, but you'll see that we're starting to, that there's additional appropriation. We've got, if this budget were to pass, there'll be about $80 million so far appropriated to those mental health facilities to begin that process. And so we're starting, we want to get out, we want to start to push that process along because we've got to figure out, Mr. Chairman, how to fix this network. It is going to be a very expensive process. The state hospital won't be the only solution to that, but it'll certainly be a significant part of the solution. But as we move that forward, it's a very important issue. It's one that that probably multiple committees will grapple with as we move forward through this over the next period of time to try and wrestle with this mental health issue that we've got in our communities and in our state. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Senator Von Flatern, you expressed interest earlier. Go ahead.
Yes. Mr. Chairman, I was there when they were discussing the crisis bed thing. I happened to be sitting in appropriations, joint appropriations last December. And according to the language in here, I don't know if you had a further discussion or you narrowed it down, but according to language, they could also appropriate beds as well as just increase rates. Was this money that's in the budget just to increase rates for the providers, that, beds that exist, or was this to actually add beds?
Any others keeping with this line?
On the crisis beds?
Yeah. You want that? You want me to answer that?
Yeah, go ahead.
Senator Bebout, do you have a question in the same line?
Per bed, and I don't think it dealt with any increased number of beds, but it was the amount of money they got for the bed because as you did the nursing rebasing, it went up substantially because it hadn't been done for a while, and they had not been. So I thought it was per bed, not to increase the number of beds.
Senator Perkins, do you want to try to wrap this up?
Yes, I'd love to wrap this up. Part of the discussion was as the department came before the JAC, Mr. Chairman, was that this is not to increase necessarily the number of beds, but to increase the providers. As you go out there, it's not unlike some of the other programs. There's a certain amount that you pay to have a crisis bed available, just to have it available, whether there's someone in it or not. And so there's a rate that's paid there. The other issue, though, is that as people fill those beds, there's varying levels of care and supervision that are required in those beds. And so what the department is doing is they're in the process of looking about that and trying to figure out how they more effectively, more efficient, and more cost efficiently appropriate and deal with that money, recognizing you've got to keep a floor there so you've got available beds, but that when you're in there that the providers are compensated appropriately and appropriate reimbursement rate for the level of care that they're providing when those beds are occupied, where now it's kind of like more of a flat rate and it's a kind of a per diem rate. They're looking and recognizing that you've got to assist those providers at a base level, but then as they provide more and additional care that's more intensive in those crisis beds, that I shouldn't say care, but as they're dealt with in those things, that you've got to have more, the department's got to have some additional flexibility. So it is not to increase the number of beds, but is generally to provide some flex and some additional providers compensation when they provide those services.
Additional discussion. Mr. Chairman Roth.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to go back on the Title 25 thing, we did receive a governor's letter, and we can provide it to you if you want it. It is Governor's Letter 15. Just to dovetail on what the vice chairman has said, it was clearly evident to the committee that there was that the department had really didn't have a very good handle on why the spike in the Title 25 placements. The budget for Title 20 or for 15-16 biennium for Title 25 placements is $5 million. And as of the first 6 months of 2015, the Title 25 placements was now at just over $4 million. So they've eaten quite a bit of that. And and testimony also was that the largest spike for Title 25 placements has come from Sweetwater County. And they just don't have a handle on why that is or not. And so what we did is we required them to allow them to use their flex authority to handle that until we can come back and deal with it in the budget the next year. But we also required a report from them on findings as to why Title 25 has spiked to the degree that it has.
For the discussion, Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman, and that's appreciate that information. The other thing when you're looking at this is not only the spike and the increase needed at this particular time, but it's the quality of service provided and the cost of that service. I'm not sure what they intend to do when those young people come in there. Then when they leave, they've solved the problem. It's involuntarily, then that's why they're committed. But the kind of treatment they get there before they leave, you know, I would really think that we should take a look at that and the benefits of what they really do for those people. Thank you.
Thank you. Further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of Senator Ross' motion to adopt Section 49, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Section 49 has been adopted. The next section for our consideration is Section 51. Senator Ross, Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Section 51. Livestock Board, and yield to Senator Hastert.
Senator Hastert, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the Senate, all we're doing here is we adopted the governor's rec for $205,212 in special revenue. This, we just created a pass-through account. Basically, the ranchers pay into the predator control fee, and the money is then given back to the county. So we just created the pass-through account as a mechanism to get it back to the counties, Mr. Chairman, and that's all that does.
Question for the manager. Seeing none. All those in favor of Senator Ross' motion to adopt Section 51, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Section 51 has been adopted. Next section for our consideration is Section 53. Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Got to get to it. So I'm not sure it's in the budget. Department of Workforce Services. I move Section 53. Department of Workforce Services. Yield to Senator Hastert.
Go ahead, Senator Hastert.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the Senate. What we did here is the JAC adopted the governor's letter number 4 for the $10,000 for the Wyoming Grown Project. I think a lot of you had heard about that. And doing a little digging on what the $10,000 is going to be used for, it's the $10,000 is a web-based program that links Wyoming grads to job opportunities in Wyoming. The $10,000 is going to be used for, I guess the best way to say it is internet support. For this program. Mr. Chairman, members of the Senate, not to belabor this much, but, you know, it's just a great mechanism, or it's a mechanism that that they're going to be using to try and tie Wyoming graduates that's moved out of the state into jobs in Wyoming. One of the anecdotal pieces of information that I had found is one of our former governors has one of their children is out of state with a PhD. The wife has a PhD also. And so this is for, this would be in a, for an example that where would you find two PhD jobs? Well, they could go to this website and help facilitate finding employment and getting them back into the state of Wyoming.
Thank you. Discussion? Seeing none. All those in favor of Senator Ross's motion to adopt Section 53, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. Section 53 has been adopted. Next section for our consideration is, we'll leave it to you. Go ahead.
Thank you.
53.
We
is that?
We're done. I'm sorry. I was getting ready for.
I'm ready for Section 60. Did we close out 53?
I'm sorry. Go ahead. Section 60.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Section 60, State Lands Investments, yield to Senator Wasserberger.
Go ahead, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. There are two footnotes here on Section 60, State Lands and Investments, and we did receive a letter from the governor, Agency 001, Governor's Letter Number 7, and in one paragraph he states, I recommend a reallocation of funding, state general funds and federal funds for the Office of State Lands and Investments for the Clean Water State Revolving Fund and the Drinking Water State Revolving Loan Program. Funding appropriated for these two programs in the 2014 budget bill for fiscal year 2015-2016 incorrectly allocated funding between federal funds, which should have been 80%, and state funds, which should have been 20%. The following adjustments correct this miscalculation. So, in footnote number one, and you can find that on page 47, line 9 of your supplemental bill, the JAC adopted the governor's rec letter number 7 to modify agency anticipated revenues by reducing $971,979 general fund dollars and $1,761,552 federal funds and increasing $2,736,531 special revenue funds from the Water Development Office and the DEQ, resulting in a net effect of $0 to the agency. And then on footnote number 2, this comes from the forestry task force on our forests across the state. And, of course, we had the informational meeting earlier in January that all of us could attend. But from that letter 14, the governor has recommended, or the task force recommended, 12 major recommendations and 53 sub-recommendations. And so on footnote number 2, the Joint Appropriations Committee adopted the Gov's rec of $705,000 for purposes of implementing the Task Force on Forest recommendations, including one-time limited position, but funded the request with emergency fire suppression account dollars and moved it to Section 352 Forestry Initiative. And that's what we did on Section 60, State Lands and Investments. And I stand for questions.
Any questions in regard to this section? Seeing none, all those in favor of Senator Ross' motion to adopt Section 60, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Section 60 has been adopted. The next section for consideration is Section 67. Go ahead, Senator Ross.
Section 66, Mr. Chairman. 66. Wyoming Tourism Board, I move Section 66 and yield to Senator Burns.
Go ahead, Senator Burns.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, in the Wyoming Tourism Board, we did three things. The first thing we did does not change the amount of money at all, but we modified the footnote, and it's footnote number one, in order to change the that $120,000 from incentive payments to different language to actually make it a scholarship. That actually makes it legal. There were some legal concerns about the way that wording was. So it's basically the same program, just different wording authorizing it. Footnote note number two, The governor recommended $800,000 of general fund money for international tourism development, basically advertising. We reduced that down to $40,000 one-time expense to join Brand USA, which is a national advertising campaign advertising the United States for tourism. And note number three, we adopted the governor's recommendation of $588,000 for website redesign and interface, and then to pay for that, we moved it over to the contingent appropriations for fiscal year 15, where it is priority number 20 out of 31. I'd be stand for any questions.
Questions? Seeing none. All those in favor of Senator Ross' motion to adopt Section 66, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Section 66 has been adopted. The next section for our consideration is now 67. Go ahead, Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Section 67, University of Wyoming. We did a lot of footnotes in this, and so I'm going to kind of go... I'm going to go through the budget bill particularly because it's easier to do. The first footnote is on page 55 at the top, line 4. This language would allow the use of matching funds for NCAA competitiveness. There is later on in the budget bill at page 122, an appropriation of $4 million to accomplish this. So, and that's in section 345. So, in August of 2014, the NCAA eliminated restrictions on meals and other spending in support of athletes recruiting scholarships and summer school. Other schools are ramping up in their spending in response to changes to NCAA regulations. UW will be at a competitive disadvantage if it does not keep up with the allowable expenditures.
Senator Ross, I'd like to remind these folks that are having a sidebar in the vicinity of an open mic.
Thank you.
Thank you. Go ahead, Senator Ross.
So these expenditures include nutrition and supplement programs, recruiting, assistance in recruiting, allowing families to come to see the school, changes in scholarships, and more summer school and training. You will also see that there will be a change in the match from 2-to-1 to a 1-to-1 match, and that will be effective April 1, 2015. And that is for uncommitted prior appropriations and a new appropriation. The next footnote is the management and fiscal. So, that's on paragraph C in, where I was with the 1-to-1 match. Yeah.
Go ahead, Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Is that 2-to-1 match? Was it previously 2 UW dollars or private dollars for every one state dollar, or was it the other way around?
Senator Ross?
I believe it was $2 from the university for our one, and now it's a 1-to-1. Going over to page 56, footnote 6 is the management and fiscal system. Members of the Senate, you'll recall that your management audit committee did a management audit study of the University of Wyoming with regard to their block grant. And part of that study revealed that they have an accounting system throughout, particularly with regards to their Section 2 monies, that needs serious revamping and modernization so they can track the money. What we did with that is we authorized $1 million from the incentive dollars that hadn't been appropriated, or hadn't been utilized, but we also required a match of $3 million. And quite frankly, that was a misunderstanding of your committee when it was presented that somehow that the university could find another $3 million. They simply cannot, so we'll be coming back with an amendment to take off that match, give them their $1 million to start on their accounting program. The next footnote is on page 57, and that pertains to the student wireless that last year required a match, and we have removed that match so that they can get the students can get wireless to the campus. It's important. That's just a basic function that you got to have at the university anymore, at any university, and certainly even in high school, or you need wireless, and so we have freed up that $1.5 million from SIPA to be available upon passage of this supplemental budget. Now we get on to page 58, which is the Tier 1 engineering. We start getting into the whole engineering school. And this footnote is a clarification. It amends language to clarify that the previous UW match requirement was not recurring. The governor recommended some different language and a change, so we amending language in last year's bill. The new language allows the university to identify an amount that the university will contribute from its own funds toward the Tier 1 and in fiscal years 17 and 18 rather than a matching amount. The next footnote is footnote 13 on page 13. This is the Connolly Amendment. It amends existing $5 million appropriation for matching endowment program to specify that out of there, $50,000 in unobligated endowment challenge fund matching funds is designated for matching gifts for communications and journalism department. So there you go there. We have a bunch of other things. We have a number of footnotes. The footnote 14 is that the trustees will work with the Northern Wyoming Community College District and members of the Gillette College Advisory Board to assess the opportunities and costs associated with establishing a four-year degree in elementary education at the Gillette campus. Footnote 15, UW will assess opportunities and costs associated with establishing a four-year degree program in Jackson, including but not limited to business majors and majors broadly related to environmental science, and then report back to JAC and the Education Committee by October 1, 2015. Footnote 16, UW will work with administrators and nursing program facilities, faculty, from all interested community colleges to assess alternatives to deliver a baccalaureate nursing degree program administered by UW at one or more college campuses. Footnote 17, this is basically with regard to the aircraft that they have at the University of Wyoming, and it creates a sinking fund for the use of the proceeds when the plane is being used by other entities and so forth, so that they can build up a pot of money there. With regard to and that, you'll also see some money coming forward in Section 345 regarding that aircraft.
Okay. So if you go to your cheat sheet, I've gone through footnotes 1, 2, 3, 4. We adopted the governor's rec with regards to $1 million for retention compensation and moved it to the Section 345 contingent appropriations 2015. We adopted the governor's rec in footnote 5 of $750,000 for the science initiative and moved that to Section 345 contingent funds for fiscal year 15. We adopted the governor's rec with regards to $375,000 for additional staffing, operations, and maintenance, and moved that also to fiscal year 15. We adopted the governor's rec for $125,000 for environmental health positions and equipment and moved that to 2015. We denied the governor's rec with regards to $805,746 general fund for statewide bachelor nursing program. We adopted the governor's rec with regards to $250,000 for design analysis. That's the money that I was telling you about in Section 346 for the new research aircraft. Once again, we adopted the $4 million from athletic matching. That's in 2015 tranche. We modified footnote 15 to expand the uses of recruitment funds, and as I mentioned, changed the match from 2-1 to 1-1. We removed the enrollment contingency and allowed UW to expend $1 million for purposes of that accounting system. I think I've already discussed that with you, and required a $3 million match. Probably need to take that match off. We modified, as I said, the wireless. We modified footnote 13 to designate $50,000 of unobligated funds previously appropriated to the Endowment Challenge Fund. That's in support of that journalism and communications department. Talked about the sinking fund already. And let's see. We did adopt $2.5 million for the literacy program and adopted the governor's rec and moved that to contingent tranche 2015. And let's see. We denied the governor's rec for general fund for entrepreneurship initiative, and we adopted the governor's rec, which we'll see later on in the budget, concerning a matching of $20 million for unconventional oil and gas reservoirs and move that to Section 345, 2015 tranche. So there you go. That's that's one part of the University of Wyoming at this point in time.
Senator Scott. Mr. Chairman, a question on... two questions. On footnote 13, the Endowment Challenge Program. Mr. Chairman, that's been a very successful fundraising program where we're able to continue the improvement of our great university and encourage private donations. The 50-50 match with that program that's been a very successful concept. And here we're earmarking $50,000. Two questions. One, is there sufficient money in that program? Is that something we need to add more to so that we can continue the effective fundraising there? Because it means we can do things half with private funds to continue in improving the university. That's first question, Mr. Chairman. Second question is a little broader. We're earmarking $50,000 here. for a particular program. We're earmarking money in subsequent footnotes for particular programs in Jackson and Gillette and other things. Are we starting to get too much into the business of micromanaging the university's business?
We'll take Senator Meyer, and then we'll go back to Senator Ross. Go ahead, Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, this is kind of on the question of drafting and what shows up in the bill and what doesn't show up in the bill. I'm looking over on page 52, section 67, and I see a lot of footnote references here. This was from the original bill, and I know we've spent some money in the footnotes that were put on here, but I don't see it reflected in the main budget items of the draft that we have. And I'm just curious why we didn't bring all of these footnotes forward and go ahead and add them in here and look at do a strike on the $404 million and change and then add it in everything else that came on to the Christmas tree. Because I don't see that over on 52, and I thought that was our drafting mechanism, so we could just take a look at one page, look at one budget, and understand this is what it was, and this is what it is now.
Go ahead, Senator Ross.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. In response to that, I think the reason why you don't see it there is because we are moving stuff out into different tranches. And so a lot of those appropriations are contingent 2015 or 2016. So they don't... They're not,
go to Mr. President.
Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I think it's pretty simple. There are no general funds funding these items. What they've done is gone out and... made one-time appropriations from sources that will be talked about later, but what you don't see is increases in general fund because, as the goldenrod shows, there were no general funds for them, and that's going to be true for throughout the entire budget, which we all have to be cautious of.
Go ahead, Senator Ross. You have another member of your committee over here.
I'll let him address those other footnotes because those were mostly his amendments. with regards to the community colleges and whatnot, in fairness, I mean, we're not spending any money. We're just directing some studies. However, with regards to footnote 13 from the tall senator from Natrona County, I've asked staff, we don't know how much is in that. And quite frankly, this was an amendment that came on from Representative Conley during round robins. There's a valid point that, yeah, maybe you are earmarking some of that. So that's an item for discussion on second or third reading, if you feel. And so I'd yield the floor to Senator Wasserberger.
Thank you, Senator Wasserberger.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. The committee had two proposals on nursing and nursing education from the University of Wyoming. And the reason why the amendment on the nursing program is there is because the junior colleges didn't know anything about it or said that they didn't. And so all we're really asking on the nursing program is for the university to go out, meet with those colleges, and then start planning that program so that everybody has input. There's no cost. Because, quite frankly, I'm pretty sure the university has it in its budget. They can travel to Riverton or wherever it happens to be. At any rate, the Gillette College is actively pursuing a four-year elementary education degree with some university. And so why not with the University of Wyoming? They are looking for a sponsor at that junior college to start an education program. There is no money to it in the budget.
I am pretty sure that the university and Gillette College have it in their budget that they can travel to wherever or they can pick up the phone and call one another. But that was what, that's the reason for both of those amendments. And it doesn't cost anything. There is no money appropriated to it.
I'm going to go to Senator Land, and then I'll go to Senator Von Flater.
Mr. Chairman, I was just curious about the conversation that took place that led to footnote number 3. As someone who has intimate knowledge of a program up in my neck of the woods, I'm doing all of this privately. We're out on the streets raising private money to do what this footnote does, and so I'd just be interested in a little conversation about what led to that footnote. And on a second point, Mr. Chairman, I just want to commend the Appropriations Committee for footnote 8. You know, we've made a lot of ground over the years, but we're not there yet. And so I want to tip my Stetson for including that one, but a little conversation on number 3, please. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I think I'll go to Senator Von Flater, and if you have a question, and then we can get back to the chair. Go ahead, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It had nothing to do with nursing, but it has to do with an aircraft, which I fly the exact same aircraft, and they've got $250,000 in there to research buying a new one. They're just now starting a sinking fund, and they're letting UW determine what that sinking fund is, which, I mean, it sort of know what that sinking fund is. It's in every publication I ever read and what we do with our aircraft. So if they're selling it, why are we just starting a sinking fund? And was it brought forth that they were selling it? I do know in the footnote it says they can keep the remainder of the funds should they sell it, including the instruments inside and the engine values and whatever. But why are we now starting a sinking fund? Why are we leaving it up to them to determine the cost of replacing components of a worn-out aircraft, which they say is worn out? That's why they need a new one. So why are we starting it so late?
Go ahead. I'm tired.
I'm going to go to the majority leader, and then I'll come back to you. Senator Landon, and then we will go to a member of Appropriations to respond. Go ahead, Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Along that same line, too, as I understand on that particular aircraft that was used for a lot of our science and matching money, I think that's a good thing. The question I have is they were getting paid for that aircraft. They were getting paid for what it was used for, yet they chose to spend money in other areas. Why is it the responsibility of this legislature to look at how we might fund and buy them another airplane? Just because they didn't do what they should have done, which is set aside money all along the way, knowing that at some point in time they'd have deferred maintenance, engines, whatever, on that particular aircraft. That's the first question I would have. The second is was there discussion about a new airplane? And I heard that number was $18 million. And if we're just now saying we have a sinking fund and $250,000, knowing that next year they're going to come back and say we can't have any science programs without our aircraft, I'm not sure that that's a responsibility totally of the legislature to fund that.
I'm going to go to the... Do you have a question, Senator Landon?
Mr. Chairman, no, I just wanted to apologize. When I brought up the conversation you had, I didn't realize that there was a
I'm going to go to Senator Perkins with the idea that he's probably the committee spokesman at this point.
I've had it for a while. With respect to the aircraft, referring to the majority floor leader's remarks, I think those are along the lines very similar to some of the questions that your Joint Appropriations Committee had. What you have, and just to be going back and give the body a little bit of background, research aircraft is one of the areas where the University of Wyoming has excelled, Mr. Chairman, and there has the atmospheric research that's done in that aircraft is second to essentially none in the country, and And so it's been a very successful program. It's recognized throughout the world and throughout the United States. And one of the things with the aircraft is because it's doing weather, it's going through severe weather events, so it doesn't necessarily have the life, at least the report or the discussion we have is that it's used hard because of the weather. It goes through, it potentially flies into bad weather and gets bumped around some. But in talking about that, one of the things that your JAC learned during the discussions was that there's been about $100 million of research grants that have come into the university through the use of that aircraft. And so it was much along the lines of what the majority floor leader asked was, you know, really at the end of the day, you'll see that there's some planning money to figure out what the next aircraft ought to look like, what instrumentation goes in there, and how they do that so they get to their next level of with this aircraft. And so you'll see some planning money in there with that. But one of the reasons that your Joint Appropriations Committee was a little bit mystified of why, when you'd taken in $100 million in research grants, that there hadn't been, and they didn't allocate a portion of those grants to replace that aircraft over time, knowing that that would happen. And the explanation, one of the explanations they had is that really at the time that they did that, as they allocate costs through, as they make these proposals, that they don't have that in the calculation. So in the research contracts they do, they've never allowed for retirement of the appropriate depreciation to replace the aircraft. So I'm sure that there'll be additional discussion next year about assisting them with buying that aircraft. But we thought that your joint appropriations thought that it was more than appropriate that with that kind of opportunity that they make sure that that full cost is recovered in those types of grants, so that that anticipating when they have that the airplane, obviously those grants would recover and would recover enough to replace that aircraft over time. We were concerned. We didn't want to impose that immediately on existing contracts because those are already done. Those rates have already been fixed. The deal's already struck. But going forward and recognizing that as future contracts are signed, that they want to have that sinking fund, or that replacement, the sinking fund, for lack of a better word, that replacement charges in there so that ultimately this will become in some respects, self-sustained with respect to the replacement of the aircraft.
Senator Von Platen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So basically, the taxpayers of the state are subsidizing their research, which we do a lot. But it also says in here that they're allowed, to the extent allowed. So in other words, we can use our own aircraft. We'll ground it before we'll bid below what it costs to operate the thing, plus the profit for reserves. And that aircraft's like $800 an hour for reserves. And yet the university will take on grants or will take on research to the extent allowed. So they cannot even charge, supposedly, on some of the grants, which I don't know enough about, but the cost of operating that aircraft. And that, to me, doesn't make a lot of sense. And so I understand the need for more than what I would invest in researching to purchase another aircraft. I certainly understand that because the instrumentation in that aircraft is worth probably more than the aircraft is. Well, I know it is. It's worth more than the aircraft. But that is a 1978 or 77 model. So it's got a lot of hours on it. It's pretty worn out. It's worth probably, you know, $300,000 or $400,000 on the resale market today because it is worn out. And it is old, and it's even older than the straight 200s. It's the 200 whatever that was prior to that. So we never planned on it. We're allowing them to still do research without recovering their costs. And now we're starting with a worn-out airplane, telling them to start a sinking fund. It just doesn't make a lot of sense.
I'm going to go to Senator Beebout, Majority Leader, please.
Yeah, and thank you, Mr. Chairman. And just another question. I understand what Mr. Vice President said about they didn't actually charge in those grants, and that's probably accurate. The question I have is the overhead that this university charged for those grants, and I've understood that to be somewhere between 40 and 45%. So if you have $100 million and you charge overhead of 40 to 45%, that tells me that $45 million goes into the university to cover overhead, which could be a lot of things. I'm not sure where it all goes, but certainly if that money was used for the kind of research projects to use the airplane, you'd think that with $45 million going to overhead, they might have at least had that discussion. Did they have that discussion?
Senator Perkins.
And I think that the questions are being asked are exactly the frustrations that your JAC had with this area. But just to be fair, a couple of points I would make is that ultimately, yes, the taxpayers subsidize research to the university. I mean, that's one of the things we do. We fund the university, and whether you put it into buildings, whether you put it into the block grant, whatever you do with it, we're subsidizing the research. We want our university to be a great university. We want it to be a Tier 1 university. This is a Tier 1 program. And ultimately, that's one of the great things. Where there's the new financial director that's been hired at the university used to be LSO budget director here. And as he goes over there, there's a level and an attention to fiscal control that I think that has been lacking at the university for quite some time. And so we are embarking on what will probably be somewhat of a painful process as our university upgrades its financial systems, that there's more financial accountability at the university. But ultimately, what we have here is something that we've stumbled on. I think it's something that evaded this legislature and the JAC in the past. And so what we wanted to start with, and why the footnote requires the sinking fund to be established now, is because we want them to start now. We want them to get that practice that goes in there so that as a part of the cost of the research, as those research grants go out, that a part of that is the replacement cost and the maintenance cost for not only the plane in the future, but there'll be replacement of engines and other things like that. So we want them to cover those full costs. One of the other things that we have, and it's one of those frustrations that, the body will stand up and say, well, it seems to me that the JAC is now micromanaging the university, and now we're climbing in here pretty deep. But ultimately, it's a problem that we saw. It's a problem that we're attempting to fix. I think that the university is getting the message. Certainly, the new budget director is getting a message. And there is. We did find out, and what the majority floor leader tells you is correct, is that typically there's an overhead charge that comes in not just with the grants we've talked about, the aircraft, but all grants in these research grants, that there's an overhead part that goes out and is allocated back to the university and flows across to the various overheads of the university. I think that the university is looking at that, as they've had other research donors, not with aircraft, but others, have looked at that overhead and are not. And I think there's starting to be a different and additional and deeper examination of those issues. So ultimately, this is going to be a process that is a gradual process of the university and the Board of Trustees, who are very interested in obtaining some financial accountability if the university goes forward. I'm Mr. Chairman, in all honesty, this is frustrating, but they're making the right steps, and we're trying to make the right steps to see that works better in the future. They're headed in the right direction, and we're going to have to help them. Sometimes if you want a further and deeper examination of the financial controls that we kind of glossed over, what I can tell you is that in some cases the financial statements and the expenditures, we heard a little bit about that from the president the other day, are basically done on Excel spreadsheet in various departments. It's not centralized, and so it's typically kind of college by college, and it's been a mismatch. They're trying to figure out, and the financial system is the beginning of a very significant project. That first million will not be the only millions that we spend, Mr. Chairman. There's a lot of work to be done over there. I think we've got the right man over there who's starting down that road, and you're going to have to bite your tongue and continue to support this so they can get control of what they need over there. Thank you.
I'm going to go to Senator Kinski. He rose briefly a moment ago, and we haven't heard a lot from him today.
Thank you. I'd like to fly off the topic of planes for just a moment and follow up on the inquiry our colleague from LaGrange had made. And I'm a new guy, so if I'm the only one that's lost, maybe I can have some after-school tutoring. I don't mean to test the patience of the chair of the Appropriations Committee or the Mr. Vice President, but up to this point, I've been able to track pretty much from the budget bill through the cheat sheet to the three tranches. And here I'm not able to do that. And I just want to make sure that I'm following, because on the others, I've been able to follow amounts as low as $10,000. And I know there's future appropriations. On the YDOT, I was able to track $5 million from the budget to the cheat sheet to this, and I'm not able to do so with these 19 footnotes on cheat sheet page 13. And if it's just me, let me know. But I'm seeing future appropriations flowing in other footnotes. And what I heard is maybe if they're not reflected in the bill, it's because they're not out of this current biennium. But I'm not sure why I have footnotes on others. And just some of these others, I'm just having a devil of a time tracking it through the bill. And I'd like to have enough detail that I'm a faithful cowboy Joe, and I want to be on board. I just need to be able to track.
Senator Kinski?
Yes, sir.
Might I suggest, we've all been in your shoes.
Okay.
But in this instance, you might go out and sit down by one of our staff members in the hall, and they can help with that, if that's okay with you.
Certainly.
That would be my suggestion.
Thank you, Mr.
Go ahead, Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A little bit on the 41% that the university charges for overhead. At first blush, that seems pretty exorbitant, but I did get with the university, and their personnel told me that actually Wyoming is in the lower end of that. When you look at land-grant universities, there are some universities that are over 50%. All of this is because we are a land-grant university. All of this is audited. Federal government keeps a really close eye on it. All of the overhead areas that are included in that 41% are essentially approved. So you might think it's a big chunk of overhead, but because they can spend that money there, there's other areas where they can come back in and offer some different deals as far as research. So it isn't necessarily across the board, but you have to be very careful with how you do it, because they are under the control of the land grant process, and a lot of these grants have a federal nexus to them. So they are looked at.
Mr. Chairman Ross.
One final point, Mr. Chairman. I do have an answer for the tall senator concerning footnote 13. There is approximately $2 million still in the endowment challenge account.
Now, Senator Burns.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to make it, I guess, clear enough for somebody like me to understand it. If you on the question, and it's a good question, is you've got basically the over in Laramie, the repository of supposedly the finest minds in the state of Wyoming. And it's a very good question being asked here is, why didn't any of them think to start a sinking fund for the aircraft back in 78? And you could have asked all but the past five university presidents that question, and you would have gotten a blank look from all of them. Because of the fact that you've got a completely diversified and decentralized accounting system at the university, using different systems, and in many cases, they're not even full-time bookkeepers or accountants who are doing the accounting. They're associate professors who are getting a little extra money to do it on the side. That's why we've got the former, well, it's not why, but we happened by circumstances. They hired, the current administration hired, our former finance guy here, and he's the one who's trying to centralize that, and they'll be asking for more money, and I think that's money well spent. So that you can ask a question at the central office at Old Main and actually get the answer and not a blank look.
Thank you. Further discussion in regard to the university section. All those in favor of Senator Ross's motion to adopt Section 67, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, no.
No.
Section 67 has been adopted. The next section for our consideration, I believe, is Section 77. Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Section 77. Enterprise Technology Services, and yield to the Vice President.
Go ahead, Senator Perkins.
Thank you. Hopefully this one is a little bit more easy to understand and quicker, Mr. Chairman. What we have in the Enterprise Technology, two things we did. Is the first, note number one that you see on the cheat sheet shows you that what we did is reduced $188,750 of IS, stands for Internal Service Funds, and two vacant positions. What that is the Internal Service Fund is an amount. It's kind of like our overhead, and our ANI provides accounting services and other services throughout state government. And so there are certain amounts that are kind of charged against all the departments back against ANI and in this case ETS, so that these services are provided. So these are controlled service funds, and they don't reflect. So they don't. These changes don't necessarily reflect the or hit the general fund. But what we do, those are internal service funds, and we removed two vacant positions that were unfilled. What happened is there were some transfers from the Enterprise Technology Services, ANI Budget Division, for some grant management positions that were over there. Everybody thought that those were better served over there, and so those positions were actually ended up transferred over to ANI. And so now that those are vacant there but authorized, your Joint Appropriations Committee went ahead and took those two positions. We also adopted the governor's recommendation to add $1,082,752 for data center expenses and moved it to Section 345, which is those contingent appropriations. You'll see it there as opposed to in the budget book, in the budget there. What we're talking about there is the data center migration. As part of the Capital and Hirschler renovation project, we have the Hirschler Data Center over here. And so as we get ready to embark upon the reconstruction of the Capital and the Hirschler, we have to recreate and migrate the data center from the Hirschler to its where it will be while we're under the construction. And so these are the funds associated to continue to that process and moving that data center and the expenses related to that movement and data migration to that center so that government will still continue to function when we begin the reconstruction process. That concludes my remarks on 77. I'll stand for questions.
Any questions? Seeing none. All those in favor of Senator Ross's motion to adopt Section 77, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Section 77 has been adopted. The next section for our consideration is, I believe, Section 80. Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Section 80, Department of Corrections, and once again yield to the Vice President.
Go ahead, Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Two things we did in the JAC did in the Department of Corrections. What we did, and there are two programs in the Department of Corrections that the JAC looked at in the initial budget bill. One of them was split sentence, and the other one was adult community corrections placements. What we did, your JAC did a year ago, was we only funded those for a half of a year. The reason why is we looked at the recidivism rates, the success rates being the inverse of the recidivism rates on those things, and found we didn't think that those rates were satisfactory. We're not having the success we should have had out of those programs. So your JAC at that time funded those for only the first year of the biennium with a requirement that they come back with a report and a plan, not a report, but a plan about how they're going to, if I remember right, the probation placements, they were going to get those above 50%, and they were going to improve the adult community corrections placements success rate above 63%. They've done that. They've looked at that. They've come back. The basics of the plan are in the main budget bill, but we've looked at that. We think that those are steps in the right direction, and accordingly, what we're doing in 1 and 2 here is we're simply funding the second half of the biennial expense for the second year of the funding for split sentencing and also for the second year of adult community corrections placements. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Are there any questions in this regard? Seeing none. All those in favor of Senator Ross's motion to adopt Section 80, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. Section 80 has been adopted. The next section for our consideration is Section 85. Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Section 85 does not appear in your budget. That is because we denied the governor's rec for $155,000 in general fund to increase the business resource network contracts. Those contracts are for $48,000 for Business Development Center, Manufacturing Works $40,900, Procurement and Technical Assistance Center $17,400, Market Research Center $11,100, Wyoming Technology Business Center and Small Business Innovation, $6,600. We denied the governor's rec.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Senator Ross, go on.
I move Section 101, Supreme Court, and yield to Senator Burns.
Senator Burns.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, we made three changes in the with the supplemental budget to the current budget. We adopted the Supreme Court's recommendation of an additional $100,000 to go to the legal aid program, basically to help reach out to underserved areas of the state where they have needs. We also adopted the Supreme Court's recommendation of $400,000 for one-time costs associated with data migration. They've got a new system associated with electronic citation, but they need to move all that data and history over to the old section. That apparently costs $400,000. And we took that money from the contingent appropriations for fiscal year 2015. That is priority 10 out of 31. And finally, we back in the budget last year, the legislature appropriated $280,000 to be spent with matching funds, to be along with matching funds, on developing a Supreme Court Learning Center. But one of the things the legislature left out is for when that money is matched, at what denominations does it have to be matched before we send the money? Is it $100,000, $10, or $1 million? So what the Appropriations Committee did was put the matching funds in at $10,000 increments. So if the matching funds for every $10,000 increment, the public funds will be released, and that money reverts on June 30th, 2016. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I would be glad to take any questions.
Any questions on this section? Seeing none, all those in favor of Senator Ross' motion to adopt Section 101, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Section 101 has been adopted. The next section for our consideration, I believe, is 161. Senator Ross?
167. Mr. Chairman, I move Section 167, University of Wyoming Medical Education. JAC added a footnote number 2, which allows the agency to use its 100 series appropriation for contract services and requires a report. This is the same kind of flex authority that we give to the Department of Health. We're giving that to them in footnote 2. JAC adopted the governor's rec to redirect $801,000, approximately $801,800 from special revenue. That's an endowment account from student loan repayments to cover the cost of the WAMI program, and we added, of course, that in footnote 3. This is a temporary fix as we continue to monitor the WIAMI program as it's changing along the way. There are 7 part-time positions in this program.
Any questions in regard to this section? Hearing none, all those in favor of Senator Ross' motion to adopt. Yes. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a question. I understand what we're doing on footnote number 2, and the Chairman is correct. The only other place we do that is the Department of Health. Not saying it's wrong. I'm just asking why and what was the discussion on why we're going to allow them to be able to transfer from 100 series to the 900 series.
Go ahead, Senator Ross.
Mr. Chairman, that's for those 7 part-time positions so that we can continue. As the program... The WIAMI program is moving more back to the University of Wyoming. These are for instructors, not only through WIAMI, but those are our 2 facilities, one in Casper and one in Cheyenne for, God, I've lost the term now, where we use those facilities.
Family practice centers.
Thank you. It's been a long day already, Mr. Chairman, and that's what we're doing here.
Go ahead, Senator Scott.
Chairman, the 7 part-time positions, are those positions around the state that are becoming clinical instructors in the WAMI program?
Senator Ross?
Mr. Chairman, exactly. Exactly.
Any discussion on this section? All those in favor of Senator Ross' motion to adopt section 167, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. Section 167 has been adopted. The next section for our consideration is section 205. Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move section 205, education school finance, and yield the floor to Senator Wasserberg.
Senator Wasserberger, go ahead, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You can find this on your supplemental budget bill, SF1, on page 70, line 5. And essentially what JAC did was we reduced the governor's rec, which was letter number 2, of $15 million from the school foundation fund, which is the school foundation account, $11,300,000 of expenditures and $3,700,000 in reduced revenues to $4,690,000 from the school foundation program for an external cost adjustment to the education resource block grant model and modified footnote number 2. This action also results in the reduced revenues of $1.1 million. And essentially what this was is the governor was recommending a $21 million ECA, and the Joint Appropriations Committee cut that. And in reality, the difference, I think, after you read everything from LSO, is really only about $3 million less. And I will distribute that explanation to the rest of the floor. And I think you actually already got that explanation earlier from the Legislative Service Office. So I stand for questions.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I recall this summer we had a couple of school districts, Thermopolis being one of them, that almost exactly hit the prototypical model as far as our expenditures in our funding formula. I mean, they had the right divisor, the 16-1. They spent the right amount of money on, or anyway, I don't know whether let's say right, but it's the money that we budgeted for the model. And I'm trying to remember what other district did that, if anybody can recall. I just remember Thermopolis. Little snake, the vice president reminded me. And the reason I bring this up is that I've had, and I think everybody has had, a great deal of pressure trying to put some money into the ECA. Well, I couldn't support the full ECA. I think the only thing that I could support during the summer was those areas that were expressly mentioned that you needed a little bit of a bump, and I think part of it was classroom materials, and there's maybe something to do with the utilities or something. But I'm just wondering what people are thinking, that the problem that we have kind of with the folks that are doing what we told them to do, their salaries are a lot lower than what the statewide average is. And I'd like to see some way where we could at least acknowledge maybe a bonus payment or something to those two districts that are doing exactly what we told them to do. And maybe that would let some of these other folks know that, you know, if you don't have 35 kids in the classroom or something, maybe we'll cut you a little bit of slack and let you have some money for your teacher salaries.
No, hell no, he says. Thank you very much.
Senator Burns, go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, I would also remind the body on the bill,
okay,
on page 75, line 13, Romanette 2, that also is an additional $6 million programmed this year to go to the school. So the money in the footnote that the Appropriations Committee did is on top of the $6 million.
I have questions.
Chair recognizes Senator Anderson.
Okay. Just quickly, I have a question in regard to the ECA. Funding model is made of different components, classified, unclassified, energy, maintenance, and that. In regard to the recommendation that the JAC made, was one of these classes treated differently than others in regard to the amount that they received? Question being, was the professional staff affected more, perhaps, than the other classifications? Senator Wasserberger.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And they were treated differently, and there's four classifications: professional staff, non-professional staff, educational materials, and energy. And what ultimately happened, I believe, in the JAC October or November meeting, professional staff received an ECA of 1.045%. Non-professional staff received 0.995%. So they were treated differently by about 0.05%, according to this document. Okay, and then also, because utilities costs went down, utilities was lowered a negative 0.5%, and then educational materials were increased 0.75%.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Roth, let's go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to have the details that were offered in terms of the actual dollar values of the ECA and how it stacks up. You know, the JEC recommendation was simply giving the cost of living adjustments that were consistent with what the model indicated were inflationary adjustments. And I know that the governor's rec was consistent with the JEC, but I'm struggling to understand exactly what the JAC did. My understanding is, and please correct me if I'm wrong, that the JAC recommended a full non-professional labor ECA, so that would be consistent in that category with the JEC. I believe that's accurate, as well as a full educational materials adjustment consistent with the JEC. And I believe the difference is on energy, which is actually a small amount this year anyway, and then on the professional or the teaching salaries. So if we can get the actual dollar values of those as well so that I can consider it in terms of the $6 million bonus, which the JEC recommended not giving the $6 million bonus, but actually just giving the correct ECAs relative to the 2013-14 salary structure, or excuse me, rate structures, that breakout would be very valuable, and I'd appreciate that. It certainly doesn't have to be now if you don't have it, but I'd like to see those figures.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Chairman, I think also when you're distributing that, I'd like to see if you could get the figures from last year. It seems to me that we did about $30 million last year for ECA. It seems to me that, if I remember correctly, $12 million for retirement. We had $8 million in there from some salaries. So we can just see exactly how much more money we gave last year. When I listened to my school district, it was like there was no ECA last year, but there was a substantial amount of money. The other question, too, is to determine the other extra money that went to the foundation program because of the $22 or $3 million more for group insurance, the $17 million for ADM, average daily membership, and some other numbers. It'd be nice to see exactly how much more money there is in there from last year and how much we're seeing going in there this year plus this, just so we can get a handle on the amount of money going to the foundation program.
Senator Wasserberger.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And those are really good questions. And it's a sizable amount of money. And I will get that to the floor.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, it's a little bit complicated, but just to take you back to a year ago, what we did is we provided a year ago, there was an ECA that was passed in the biennial budget that for both for this fiscal year and for next fiscal year. And in that, last year, the ECA for last year for professional staff was 1.045% increase for professional staff in the block grant, which was about $6,296,000 and change a year ago. This year, that ECA that's already in the budget without doing any, taking any action in this budget. And move, the ECA for this year was 1.725%, which will be $10 million, just a little bit less than $11 million for professional staff. The ECA from last year added about not quite $2 million. Will add be $2 million for non-professional staff. Educational materials from last year, again, with taking no budget this year, was $1.9 million. Now, that's for this year. Now, that's not additional money. But when you add all those together, the ECA that we passed last year as we come into this year is about $6 million, whether we not $6 million more than was last year, regardless of what we spend in this budget. So then we get to what the JAC did, which it kind of did, which we, the vote was mostly at its and was sustained, was the we did in our October meeting, and then was we did the markup was the same thing. Ultimately, what we did is we added, in addition to, so that by adding, by the JAC recommendation in this bill, is there was no additional amount appropriated for professional staff. So that will stay at the 1.725%. The non-professional staff is now with the ECA will be over 2% now, and there, but there's $2,064,000 that's appropriated for non-professional staff by the JAC recommendation. Then educational materials, there's an additional $3.7 million for educational materials, for just right at about $5.8 million in the JAC recommendation in this budget. So you take that and add the $6 million and change from last year, and so the total ECA from the last year's budget bill and the JAC recommendation in this budget bill is a total of about $12 million. And the governor's rec took, and when the governor's rec was at $15 million, the governor, if you read what he was saying, he says he wanted to come in and take away the ECA that we approved last year. It was to rebate that. It reduced reduced any increase that would come in the current year. It reduced that, and then was this $15 million on top of it. So if you leave everything alone with what the governor wanted to do and what the JAC recommendation were, only the difference is between $12 and $15 million overall. Keep in mind that while we allocate these and they're awarded and in specific categories, in the end they're block grant monies. So even though they're appropriated for one thing, they go out to the school districts. The school districts spend them however the school districts decide to spend them.
Any other questions or discussion in regard to this section? All those in favor of Senator Ross' motion to adopt Section 205, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Section 205 has been adopted. The next section for our consideration. Majority floor leader.
Mr. Chairman, if it's okay with you, why don't we just take about a 10-minute recess?
We'll take a 10-minute recess.
Yeah. Woo. Yippee-ki-yay.